And now, back to Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039. And get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
And a good morning to you. Welcome to the second hour of the program. We are Marriage Beyond the Vows. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Tiffany Bacon here with Paul and Kenita Smalls. Today we are talking about where did the money go? Sometimes when we just spend a little too much in the relationship, it can cause problems. And our special guests, our experts here to give us guidance through scripture and through their own personal experience to help anyone who might be dealing with that situation right now or trying to avoid it. We do invite you to call in to share your story, your testimony, or even ask your questions. If you're trying to figure out how to dig yourself out of this enormous debt, maybe you haven't told your wife or your husband that you spent a little too much money on Christmas and you're just looking for some courage or some guidance on what to do, we invite you to call 215-263-1039 877-995-7644. Paul and Kenita, we've heard so many great stories, so many deep stories, actually, and what people are going through. What would you say, particularly to newlyweds? What is the most important conversation about money they should have?
I think for me, my wife was like, well, I should have sniffed you see if you had any money. No, but I didn't really have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't the issue. The issue is how does your spouse handle your money, or how does the person that you're dating, that you're getting ready to marry, handle the money? Are they responsible? Mm-hmm. I think that's an open conversation that every couple should have, and to find out what they're doing with their money. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's an indicator. Mm-hmm. And then if you feel like they're being too lavish in the way that they spend their money on you, mm-hmm. have a conversation about it.
Right.
And say, that's not how you need to show me love.
Yeah. Right.
This is love for me. I don't need to see all these types of things mm-hmm. as love.
Okay.
And I think that once you get that clear in the air, it's going to make for a better relationship down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awesome. I think for me, the most what a couple should do is decide what the standard is for how they're going to spend their money.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing Paul had was a conviction that God was going to be the standard. And so, you know, mm-hmm. I know there's some wives out there whose husbands won't let them tithe or won't let them give mm-hmm. to help. And we were unified. And even though the dues of it and the everyday of it was needed to be perfected and still does, I knew that he was a man of God and he would do whatever the scriptures said.
Mm-hmm.
And so as to what should a new couple do is really decide, is God the standard? Is the Bible the standard? Mm-hmm. And God will bless you. You know, we've both gotten free education.
Mm-hmm.
We've both gotten, you know, opportunities that if we had to pay for them, we would not have been able to do it.
Right.
So God will provide if you make him the standard. And if you both grow, it'll make your marriage stronger, give mm-hmm. you some laughs to chuckle about a few years mm-hmm. later. And you will learn, and like the scriptures say, you will learn to gather money little by little.
Right.
And so I think the most important thing is just to be unified in the scriptures, that's going to be the standard.
Mm-hmm. All right. Fantastic. Do you have a scripture to share just as we move into the next section of the program today? And we have some callers on the line with some comments, questions, and testimony.
Yes, I do. I have a scripture in Hebrews 3 and verse 12. It says, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." And I really believe that when we're spending money, it's because we have some form of an addiction
mm-hmm.
to fill a void that's in our hearts. And so we become deceitful in that action. And eventually we get hardened to it, to the point where it mm-hmm. becomes our, not only our behavior, but it becomes our nature to a point.
Mm-hmm.
And then you try and hide it. Anyone that's addicted to things, they usually cover it up with deceit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I feel like the scripture applies. And I think that before you get married or even when you're married, you've got to stay vulnerable and be honest with yourself and your spouse, because that's what hurts, that's what cuts the heart, and that's what keeps the heart soft.
Mm-hmm.
And it prevents you from that type of lifestyle.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you for that scripture. And hopefully you listening were able to be encouraged and inspired by that as well. Let's go to the phones. Again, you can reach out to us with your comments, questions, and testimony, 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. Carlton is calling in from the Garden State, New Jersey. Hi, Carlton, you're live on the air.
Hello, yes.
Yes, good morning.
I was calling in regards to my marriage.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Carlton.
Yes, we're here, sir.
Yes, I was calling in regards to my marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, my wife's been separated a little while now, and I'm trying to let this marriage work, but it seems like I'm the only one putting out all the effort, mm-hmm. and she don't really want to. She said it takes two to make it work, mm-hmm. you know, and I said, well, I love you, Mont. I love you dearly. You know, I said, the love that I have for you, you know, we've been married for 22 years, mm-hmm. and I says, I don't want to lose you, and I'm trying to do everything that I can to make sure everything works. Seems to me that there is somebody else in the picture. And my wife is a godly woman. She was a virtuous woman. And I wasn't. I know the Bible, but she was the one going to church and dragging me. And then I went down the wrong road, and she went away from me. And I'm trying to see if I can rekindle this marriage and stuff. But, you know, so she says to give her 30 days. I must come down to Georgia with her for 30 days, and we'll give it a try. But it seems to me, I can feel it in my spirit, that it's not going to work when I go down there. I just don't know why, you know, but I'm trying anyway. I'm going, but I don't know what to do. I've been praying and asking God, you know, for direction and, mm-hmm. you know, and make sure that when I do go down there, I do the things that I need to do, the mm-hmm. right things, to make sure that she see that I'm a changed person.
All right, Carlton.
I ask God to renew my mind and put me back on the potter's wheel and just keep molding and just cutting away, take all those bad stuff away from me and just shape me into what he want me to be. Not a good husband to her this round, but a better husband. But, you know, I'm trying to explain all that stuff to her, but it seems like she don't even want to accept that, you know, she's telling me. So what if I'm happy now?
Okay. Carlton, hold on one second. Paul and Kenita will respond to you.
Hey, Carlton, how are you doing?
Okay.
What was it that created this separation? What was the main thing that created the separation between you and your wife?
All right. The separation, all right. We bought a house, and then when we sold the house, I bought a farm, and we had a couple of horses on the farm. And from day one, when we went there, she said she never liked that house, she never wanted to be there, and you know. But at the same time, you know, she was there, but she really wasn't there, because physically she was there, but mentally she wasn't. And, you know, it came down to, you know, we got into a financial problem out there on the farm, and we was getting ready to lose the house. And so she said, well, then she's going to Georgia. So she packed up and she went to Georgia. And I tell her, I'm going to stay up here and try to see if I can hold down the fort, see if I can get things together. And then when I get things together, I'll come on down. But it's been 3 years since I've been up here holding down the fort.
Okay.
But right now, things is getting ready to bloom for us.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, Carlton. Paul went to ask you a question.
Your question. So she's separated from you because you made a bad decision with your finances?
Yes, sir.
Has it been one decision or several?
Well, she said I should have never sold the house that she was in to buy that house.
Okay, so she's resenting the decision that you made.
Yes.
Okay. Well, here's what I would do, because you're saying you're trying to tell her you love her and all these different things, and those things are great, but I think what needs to happen is she needs to see your repentance by your deeds. Your actions will speak louder than your words. And there's a scripture in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. It says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." I think if you can find in your heart and identify the real sin, repent of it, turn to God.
Acts chapter 3.
And if God wants you to come back, and she wants to come back, she's going to come back. But turn to God for your comfort. Turn to God for that love. Turn to God for that security. And let's see what happens.
Right. That's what I've been doing. I rededicate my life, and I went back to church, and I rededicate my life. And there's a fire burning inside of me right now.
Okay.
There is not a morning that I don't get up and spend quality time with my God.
Okay. Well, why don't we do this? I want to give you a website to go to where we can talk more through that.
I don't have a computer. I have a computer, but I'm not online.
Okay. I'll give it to you. So when you do get a chance to get to it, you can actually contact us. It's praisephilly.com.
What is it?
Praisephilly.com.
All right, and we are gonna have to move forward, Carlton, and we will give that again. So if you missed any part of that, we will say it again on the air. So just keep listening to that to us, okay?
Yes.
All right, Carlton, thank you so much. Thank you for being very revealing and for listening to us and for calling in.
Yes.
All right, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Yes.
All right, bye bye. We have LaVon calling in from South Carolina. Hi. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. Thank you so much. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad. Right. I was listening to the program, and I heard the caller called in about marriage and student loans.
Yes.
And I thought she had gave out some information about how where you can retrieve some of your money if your significant other had a student loan, and they, you know, when they filed together, and it took both of the money, all the money, and the one that didn't have the student loan didn't receive anything. Was there an organization where you could retrieve some of your money back from that?
Kenita?
No, there isn't. When you're dealing with federal student loans in particular, that's the government, and so they really aren't interested in your sad story.
But
at the end of the day, I know in our situation, it was for the better because it allowed us to go forward. And that was what was most important for the foundation of our marriage.
Okay. So nothing you can do about that. Just bite the bullet, huh?
Yeah. Just move forward, learn, and rebuild and, stay unified. That's what we've learned and the advice we would give.
Okay. Sound great.
Thank you so much, LaVon. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you for taking my call, okay?
All right, not a problem. Have a great
day.
Yes, you too.
All righty. We have Aaron calling in from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Praise the Lord.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Yes, I know the sister, before you went to your little next notation, the sister had mentioned about raising up a standard. And the thing is that we're departing from the standard, which is key before you even get into a marriage. To give you an idea as to what the Lord said in Isaiah 59:19, he says, "When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him." What's the key, or what is the standard that God is talking about? That's his law. The thing is, when you say, "Well, where has all the money gone?" Where have you gone? You have departed from God. And right there in the law, he said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And then when we see how we spend our money frivolously, whether we have sufficient surplus or whether we don't have it, or it's because of holidays or whatever the case may be, what happens is God tells us right there in Isaiah 55:2, "Ye spend money for that which is not bread." Bread is what we should be getting, which is the word of God. We're sitting here, we're stealing from God, as some people have mentioned, in reference to not paying tithes or the fact that we're covered and we see things that our neighbor may have or whatever, and we want it too, as we may say in the society, well, I want to be like the Joneses or whatever. So we see that we're really departing from the principles of God's word and his law, and we don't see that we're committing sin. And then when everything falls into shambles, we want to point the finger like Eve did, like Adam did, and yet we need to come back to God, repent for our wrong by looking to his law, seeing that it's a sin, and yet come back in harmony and do that which is right in his sight.
Paul and Kenita, what do you have to say?
Well, I agree. I think what you had to share was definitely inspirational, and I think that it's right to have God as the focus and the word as the focus to be inspired to be able to have the standard.
Right, so, and I just want to say one more thing, and I'll go ahead and let you go. Another thing is I hear a lot of people when they call in, it's nice that people want to say, hey, you need to get that book. We got Dr. Such and Such here. You need to consult with Dr. Such and Such. There's nobody higher in wisdom to consult with than the word of God. And God clearly tells us as Christians, we all can admit we are living the last days. If our government can tell us we are in an economic crisis, why can't Christians, who will be far wiser and more far-seeing into the future by the wisdom of God's word, cannot see that when God warns us by saying, like Matthew 24:24, he says, beware of false Christ and false prophets. A lot of people saying, you need to get my book this, you need to get that book, you need to see Dr. Such and Such, but yet, we don't even know, because we're not studying the way God said, that we're entertaining false prophets. Now, I know everybody can read the scriptures, but how do you know whether you're speaking the words of a true prophet or a false prophet? And that's where the Lord tells us in Matthew 24:11, as far as the false prophets are concerned, many people are being deceived.
All right.
All right. Thanks for sharing.
Aaron, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for listening this morning.
God bless.
All right. Have a wonderful day. We have an anonymous caller reaching us from outside the Philadelphia area. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Hi. I'm just listening to the previous brother who is so on point. I just wanted to say one of the things we as believers need to do is so very important, and that is to budget. Once you budget, you have Christ first, your tithes, because you have no money to spend without tithing. So the tithe is so important. If you don't tithe, you're cutting your own throat. And so I just believe you first you do your tithing, then you look at you look at the rest of your income, you look at what needs to be paid, bills need to be paid. Then after you've looked at your all of your income, what bills need to be paid, you dish out allowances. And to have separate accounts, you need an account for just for bills, an account that just says bill account. Then other accounts for savings, for spending, and an ATM card should only be what you are able to spend. And once you've budgeted the spending amount, and it's gone, it's gone. There's no more to spend, and you know it really does work. The budgeting is so important. You must sit down. You must see what needs to be paid out.
All right. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, we are getting ready to take a break. We'd like for you to still be on the line. Call in if you have any more comments or questions today. We are talking about where did the money go? How overspending can cause problems in your relationship. Marriage Beyond the Vows will return right after this.
And now, back to Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039. And get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
Thank you so much for checking us out. We're in the final segment of the program today. Again, we open the phone lines to you. Make sure you give us a call with your comments, your questions, and, of course, your testimony. The number is 215-263-1039, 1-877-995-7644. I'm Tiffany Bacon here. With me, we have Paul and Kenita Smalls. We're talking about where did the money go, how money can mess up things in the relationship. Mm-hmm. I know each of you has some interesting statistics and some numbers about spending, especially around the holiday season. What do you have?
I have some statistics here about Thanksgiving. And it's pretty amazing that Americans spent a total of $28.5 billion on Thanksgiving in 2008.
And that's just food. We haven't talked about gifts.
Was 90% of it went toward food.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So where did the rest of the money go?
Mm.
Some spend happy Americans dish out hundreds of dollars for Thanksgiving decorations and other festive flourishes.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas cost, last year in 2008, Americans spent about $460 billion on Christmas.
Woo!
According to IBS World, some estimates show that the average American spends between $500 and $1,000 or more on Christmas gifts and decorations each year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Each year, though, but, I mean,
and
once you buy the decorations,
the
aren't you going to use?
Wait, that was in 2008, though.
That's
Think
2008.
About that. That's the recession year.
I can only
imagine. So
imagine
what, you know, the 90s or the early 2000s were like.
Unbelievable.
It's just amazing. I don't want to, like, kill anybody's Christmas, but how about a card?
Yeah.
How about an e-card?
How about a homemade gift?
Exactly.
Even a homemade card.
And my wife is the one that's more giving. I'm the stingier one. And so she likes to give gifts to everybody. I wouldn't be surprised if she's sending gifts to Obama's kids.
Wow.
Because she's that giving. And I'm working on being more giving, and I'm working on her to just kind of not give so much to everything, because somehow it can affect us financially. So we got to find a balance.
Yeah. Right, right. Kenita, what numbers do you have?
Well, you know, some practicals about giving and even about just going through our budget, some of them have been mentioned. And I just wanted to kind of reiterate them because it is important. One of the first things I do actually about every quarter to 6 months is go through our utilities, our cable, our cell phone, any kind of services we're receiving, and really see where we can cut back. Mm-hmm. Here recently, I realized that I was able to cut back our cell phone bill quite a bit, and as well as our cable bill. One of the callers mentioned, you know, you don't need all of these channels. And I realized we were paying for channels on our cable bill that we didn't even know we had.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, as I started asking more questions, he's like, yeah, that's channel such and such. I'm like, I didn't know our channels went up that high, you know. So I just want to just kind of put that out there for people to really comb through where you're spending your money. Look at what you can do without. Something we've done, it's been a sacrifice, but we have one car. We've had one car for about 5 years now. And we've purposely moved to areas where there's major transportation. And we've even, so that we could, you know, use, he takes the train to work, or, you know, we'll carpool. So those are some things, you know, obviously when you have, I know families with children that have one car, so I'm sure that's a whole nother topic. But, and the other thing is, if you can, another thing that we've done to get out of debt is we've lived on one salary. And we've done that for a few years now. And God willing, we will be debt, you know, all the bad debt, as they call it, free.
Awesome.
And, you know, but we've done it by living on one salary, but tithing off of both.
Right.
And I do want to just quickly say, you know, 1 year, I remember I was just so tired of this whole routine. And I said, okay, we're going to cut back in our tithe. And I never forget when that year of taxes came, we owed almost dollar for dollar what we had cut back in our tithing. And it just convicted me so much. And I think one of the things that's helped me with that, and I know, you know, you might not get the caller who struggles with this, but I want to share that, you know, tithing is for us. I mean, God does not need our money. And when I finally got that, that, you know, Jesus entrusted the money to Judas, who he knew was stealing. So obviously the money itself isn't the issue. It's what it does to our hearts. And, you know, you need to be wise, get advice. Everyone has different situations. But the heart of it, you know, Jesus lifted up the widow who put her last two copper coins in. And I think that what God is looking for is your heart.
Right.
And so I just want to encourage people as we're making choices, be it so that we can give more during the holidays, be it so that we can keep our home or anything there in between, to practically look at what you're spending, look at what you can do without or do less, you know, with less, and keep putting God first.
Awesome. Awesome. Amazing, amazing stories. It's amazing numbers, too. Just how much
we're spending. Yes. And again, that this was in 2008 when the economy was really hurting.
Right.
I mean, that's what we spent when we were broke. Right. Yeah, you know what I mean?
So is it, I mean, back in the day when, you know, you used to decorate by getting that long piece of twine and a needle and stringing popcorn together to just put across, across the living room and, you know, making ornaments out of cookies.
Yep.
You know, you make the gingerbread cookies, decorate them, put a hook in them, and put them on the tree. And you know, you got to take them down after a week because it's going to look a little trifling.
Yeah.
But you know, just that homemade decoration. Do you think, even in times of recession, do you think people will be encouraged to do that? And then that's also a family activity.
It
you
is.
Get the children involved, and you know, it one is. Child is stringing the popcorn, the other is baking the cookies, and daddy's putting up the tree, and mommy's helping him. You know,
one statistic talked about how our bad habits and spending, they not only affect the budget, but it also models wrong messages for the children.
Mm.
And this is a time where that is able to be remedied, because, you know, if we don't have so many cable channels, if everybody doesn't have the TV on at the same time, we have one television, and that's something else we purposely did just to make us spend time together. So the point is, it forces you to do things like you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's happened is all this technology, it's really taken away time,
right?
You know, and so making a point to make decorations, or one thing, even investing in a container to keep your decorations, because oftentimes mm-hmm. your decorations break and you end up buying them year after year.
Yep.
My sister-in-law gifted me a wonderful gift one year. She, after Christmas was over, bought a bunch of containers to put your bulbs in.
Yeah.
And I have these beautiful bulbs that she got, you know, at after Christmas prices. So it's sometimes making the right investment as well, you know, to be able to not have to keep buying these things, as well as doing crafts together, so that you are able to save money in that way. Or even, you know, using decorations don't require a lot of lighting, or that maybe have solar lighting.
Right.
You know, just thinking smart. It's not always that you can't spend, but that we really need to be smart in how we spend.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do that, we don't have that emotional guilt that then makes us want to keep spending to medicate.
Right. And Paul, I know you have something to say also. I wanted to say quickly that I recognize that there are certain low or discount department stores that have containers for your Christmas tree.
Exactly.
There's a big Christmas tree bag that I just purchased.
Yeah.
And a big box. It's cloth on the outside, but it's some kind of sturdy something on the inside where you can put all of your Christmas balls
lights.
And special, special thing. And it was $9.
Right. Exactly.
You know? And it looks, it said it's rainproof and waterproof, all this other sort of stuff. So it's a good way, no matter where you have to keep it. And that way you don't have to keep replacing all the time. Yes, Paul.
What I was going to say is, I think a lot of times the budget can get lost when it's Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because of the way the economy is right now, I think it's a great time to really set yourself up for success for next year.
Right.
And then figuring out how to budget and not going past that budget. And the other thing is, use this really as an opportunity to teach your children really the importance of Christmas.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. What
it's
about.
It's not about getting a bunch of gifts and presents.
Right.
It's about love. It's about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's about our King. It's about our Lord. It's about our Savior. It's about the one that's giving us all this opportunity to be able to celebrate.
Right.
And so I think if we can use this time as adults to teach the kids the importance of Christmas, save some money, and be happy into the new year, I think would be a great, great thing.
Fantastic.
Because it's all about being with your family.
Absolutely. All right, guys, thank you for that. We are welcoming your phone calls right now. We are talking about, where did the money go? Do you have a comment or a question, a story to share, a testimony? We invite you to give us a call right now, 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. We have Cecilia calling in from North Carolina. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How's everyone doing?
Oh, we're doing fine. Thank you much. How are you?
That's wonderful. I wanted to make a comment, first of all, about the gentleman that was talking about the false prophets and about the books and things.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that we should see godly counseling. So if the people that are writing the books and the doctors that are talking with the people are of God, then I think that is a good thing, because the Bible says to try the Spirit by the Spirit and to see if it is God.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have a good discerning spirit, we can tell whether or not it is of God or not of God. And then I would like to say, too, that we have not because we ask not. I'm going through a situation right now. I've been married to my husband for 19 years, and in the beginning it was that I had everything. I had money, I had a house, I had the cars, and he came into the marriage with nothing. And so as time went on, everything that I had began to be stripped away from me because I was doing everything. And so then he was very lackadaisical. I was always trying to, you know, ask him, you know, what are you doing with your money? Where is your paycheck? You know, what's going on? And he would always tell me, don't you worry about that. I got that. You know, that's none of your business what I do with my money. So now, because of the way he has done, I am now in a shelter with my children. And it's really unbearable because I don't want to be there in the relationship anymore, because I feel like I can do bad by myself. And I come from a well Christian home. And I just want to know, what do the doctors tell people in that type of situation? What do you tell them to do? Because some people, such as myself, I don't spend a lot until holidays, because I don't have to spend throughout the year. So that the one special holidays that we do have for my children, that's when I give them.
Mm.
And some people, well, I'm not going to say some people, I'm just going to say me, because I'm talking about me. When you know who Jesus is, and you read his word, and you believe it, and you try to stand on the word of God, there are other people that will make you feel like it's not right, or because you believe the way that you believe, that it won't work for you. So now this Christmas, and I know that it's about God, but for this Christmas, I hurt because, number one, I don't have a home. Number two, I have nothing really to give my children.
Mm.
So, you know, for people like me, that when we do have money and we do right and we want to continue to do right, and then all of a sudden it's taken away from us because of a spouse, what do you do?
All right. Hold on one second, Cecilia. Let's see if Paul and Kenita can assist you.
Good morning, Cecilia. Thank you so much for sharing. And I wanted to first read you the scripture in Isaiah 49, verse 15. It says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. Your walls are ever before me." And, you know, God is not going to forget you or your children. He says a bruised reed he will not break. And you're bruised. And it is hard. I mean, you know, we make comments sometimes, and there's always the exception. It is absolutely important for your children to be excited. I'm a teacher, and if I could teach two things between now and Christmas, I'll be happy. The kids are so distracted because they know what's around the corner. And that's okay. They let them have that, you know. Are you connected with any organizations that can help you to be able to provide some toys and gifts to your children?
No, I'm not.
No, okay. Is there a church in the community that you've been attending or getting any support from?
I just started going to a different church.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't ask people. That's just been me. I've never asked people for help.
Right.
And I've never asked for anything. I've always had to do for myself.
Sure.
Even as a young girl, I've always had to do for myself. Yeah. And so that's where I am now. And I'm going to be honest with you. I want out.
Mm.
I want out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I am so afraid to move, because I feel like if I move, I'm really going to be in the street.
You don't have family that you could take you in, or, you know, friends?
My family, they treat me as a black sheep, okay. So I really don't have anybody.
Mm-hmm. And your husband is in the shelter with you?
Yes.
Okay. And are either of you working or earning any kind of income?
I'm disabled.
Okay.
But he says he doesn't want to work because he's getting a certain thing from a certain place, and so.
Okay. Well, this is one time that possibly, I mean, many women are of that mind, like, you know, we don't need people. And I can share with you, as someone who grew up with that similar circumstance where I've just not always been able to rely on the people that traditionally you would think you should be able to rely on, it comes to a point where it stifles your ability to receive God's love. Because if there was nothing for us to complete on earth, once we became Christians, we'd go straight to heaven. So there is a role that we are to play in one another's lives. And sometimes we need to reach out and ask for help. And, you know, if you obviously, from what you've shared, are someone that has, you know, always done for yourself. And, you know, you're not alone. There are a lot of people right now who are in unemployment lines, who are in food lines, who are at free clinics, who thought, I know someone that's close to me, and they had to go to a free clinic, and they were telling me how humbling it was just to be in this clinic. And, you know, it is nothing to laugh at. It's nothing to take lightly, but you're not alone. This is where we are today. And if you can reach out and get the help that you need, if you're the woman that you say, you've said, look, I've always had my own, you're going to be the person that those programs were designed for. Those programs were designed to help people get up and walk, you know? I mean, Jesus did not scoff people who asked for help. He said, do you want to get well? Mm-hmm. You know? And then once he healed them, he said, stop sinning. So help has a place for the person who wants to get well and then who takes that help and does with it what it was designed for. So don't let your pride or your shame, there's nothing to be ashamed of. From what you've shared, you've done your part. If you reach out and get the help, you're someone, you're going to multiply that. You know, you're going to take that talent and you're going to do something with it. And God willing, you may now have an insight to, in the future, once you're back on your feet, to provide for others. Sometimes when we're self-made people, we have a hard time having compassion on others because we can't relate. But, you know, who knows what this could be affording you for the future. So if there, I mean, I know there are places, and we would love to be able to even send you some recommendations. If you can get to an internet, or I don't know if off the air we can connect, but be able to give you some places to go. The website is praisephilly.com, and we can connect you with some places that we know of. But at the end of the day, what I want to share is that get the help. You're the type of woman that will use that help for what it was meant, and get your kids some gifts for this Christmas because, you know, that right there is, you know, all said and done. Yes, we need to be frugal and da-da-da, but kids need to be kids, and they need to feel that excitement that they deserve at this time.
All right, Cecilia, thank you so much for your call. We thank you for listening to us this morning, and I hope we were able to be helpful.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Also, Charlotte, you can get the same information on praisecharlotte.com. That's very important to know. So you have praisephilly.com, the website you can go to, or you can also visit praisecharlotte.com. This is Praise, your inspiration station. You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows, the final moments of the program. If you would like to call in and let your comment be known, or share your testimony, or just ask some advice on how to deal with a situation involving mismanagement of money in the relationship, how to save the marriage if it has gone too far, how to avoid it from getting to a place where you feel like you need to save the marriage. Mm-hmm. If you're just looking for some advice, or if you'd like to share what it is that you and your husband or wife did to make things better, give us a call, 215-263-1039, 1-877-995-7600. Guys, we have Agnes on the line from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi, Agnes. How are you?
I'm good, yourself.
I am doing well, and Paul and Kenita look like they're doing well, too. All right, what's your comment or question?
I was just listening to the young lady, Cecilia, on the phone from North Carolina, I believe.
Uh-huh.
I'm sort of in her situation, but not to the point where I'm in a shelter. From a young age, my mom used to save money, a lot of money. You know, she used to put in different pouches of her pocketbook. And so now I'm older, and I'm on my own with my husband and my children. And I'm a stay-at-home mom. And I used to work, but he told me to, you know, stop working because of the children. Well, I have a pig, one of them porcelain pigs or a ceramic pig, a bank. And every little penny I get, I put it inside that pig because I'm the type of woman, I don't like to ask anybody for anything. I'm, like, more independent, and I'm used to having, and people look at me as if I have it when I really don't have it. And my husband is the sole supporter of my family. But yet, where I try to save, he spends more than I. And it's hard to depend or ask anybody for anything because they're so used to you having it and you don't have it. But when they look at you, they think, oh, she has it. She has everything. Because when I come out of my home, they think, oh, she has a nice house, her kids are well-dressed, et cetera. They have no idea what I'm really going through. And the young lady with her situation with in a shelter and being married to her husband, I feed off of my friends. I look for their strength and their warmth and their input to get me through, because if I was to just not reach out and talk to anyone, I think I would probably have a nervous breakdown and collapse. But tell her, don't give up. Just speak the faith and just talk to people. Talk to anybody. I mean, just talk. Sometimes it's good to just talk, to get it off your chest. And just tell her, just don't give up, because you know, look. Tell her to look at the children, anything. But so don't give up. Don't give up the faith, because believe it or not, this too shall pass, and you will get over. Because so don't give up.
Agnes, don't thank you for your inspirational words. Thank you so much, Paul and Kenita. Did you want to respond? Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Agnes. You're right, and you know when. Yeah, I just appreciate your don't give up, and that this too will pass. And in all things, remember Romans 8, you know, God works for the good of those who love him.
Yes.
And so.
Fantastic. Thank you, Agnes. Have a great day, and thank you for listening.
Thank you very much.
All right, have a good one. Bye-bye. We have Betty calling in from Philadelphia. Hi, Betty. You're live on the air. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How you doing?
All right. Thank you much.
You know, I just feel bad for that lady, you know, just called. But my thing, you know, when you're in a marriage, you're a person, you should never let a one take full control over your money.
Mm.
I mean, my thing, I mean, I was my mama will now. But when me and my husband was together, we sat down and we took, you know, the bills and all that. But all that having, letting them have full control, wasn't like that. Because my thing is, that's your husband. He's supposed to be the head of the household. But to have him just take full control, and you don't have no money, he just take all the money and do what he, you know, say, I'm handling it, uh-uh. That should have never been with that lady. Mm-hmm. I feel really bad for her to hunt her kids in the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
But she let him took full control.
What do you guys have to say about that, Paul and Kenita?
The thing that was going through my mind is, and what we've learned in our marriage is, my money is my wife's money, and her money is mine. It's our money. And I think when it becomes your own money, that's when problems start happening, because that's where the deceit starts to come in. That's where the hiding starts coming in. That's where the situations that this woman has gone through has happened, because it wasn't a joint decision that was being made. in their situation. And I think that to protect our marriages, we have to look at everything as ours. That's why we're married. We didn't get married to become individuals, right?
Right.
We become more like Christ together as a couple to really impact other married couples if we're doing it right.
And really the step beyond it where we've now are getting to is that it's not even ours. It's God's.
It's God's. That's right.
You know, because there's no reason why we are the ones who have jobs in a time when so many people are without work. You know, there's no reason why we are able to have the problem of deciding what to buy when someone can't even provide gifts for their children. Mm-hmm. So really it's not and that was back to the earlier point that Tiffany was asking, you know, what do you tell couples? Well, you first have to decide whose money is it? And it's God's money. And, you know, if that is, unfortunately, you know, we don't all have these tools going into marriage, but eventually the conversation has to become that, you know, we've been entrusted with this. And, you know, one thing we've done, we've gotten advice from other couples. We actually had a brother in the church come over who was recommended, and he helped us come up with a budget. And, you know, we weren't in any desperate situation. We just wanted to get better.
Right.
And so, again, my husband is, he loves God and he's a man of God. So these are the things that have made it possible. But I hear what you're saying, you know, no, neither of us should be in control. God should be in control of the budget. And the way you do that, though, practically, is that you talk about it, you apply the scriptures, and you get godly advice. And, you know, it's humbling to tell someone, you know, this isn't what we got, you know. And I think the real answer is just making God the center of it and having the attitude that, you know, we could have been that kid in the Philippines scrounging through the trash looking for tonight's dinner. And we can never forget that, you know, regardless of how strong of a woman we are, the strength we have was given us by God, and we cannot lose sight of that.
All right. Thank you so much for your call, lady. Thank you for listening to us this morning.
Okay. Have a blessed one.
All right. Fantastic. Have one. Have a blessed one as well. And I believe this is probably going to be our final caller for today. We have Sandra on the line from Pennsylvania. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi, this is Sandra.
Hi, Sandra. I'm sorry. Hi, Sandra.
Hi.
Hi. What's your comment or question?
My comment was regarding, I heard a portion of the show about the man who said when you file joint and your spouse owes money and the government comes in and takes the portion for both spouses. Mm-hmm. There is a remedy for that.
Okay.
And I just wanted to offer that information because most people do not know about their injured spouse form that is filed along with your joint tax return.
Okay, and it's called what again?
An injured spouse.
Injured spouse. And can you expand on what that is?
Sure. For instance, I'll use myself. My husband has debts that he had incurred way before we got married. Mm-hmm. So every time he would file an income tax, of course the government's going to take his portion of it. Mm-hmm. But to keep the government from taking my portion, I attach the injured spouse form. Mm-hmm. And that what that does, it breaks down the income. And so whatever portion that's allotted to the person who didn't incur those expenses, the government can't touch your refund because you filed that form. Mm-hmm. So there is a remedy for those when the spouse does have debts that doesn't belong to the other one and it occurred before they were married. Okay. There is a remedy for that.
Okay, so is this for, and I know we have to go, we're really, really running tight on time. Is this for people who are newly married or can it be, you know, if you've been married for a couple of years?
Oh, it doesn't matter. Newly married or you've been married for years. And you can also amend your tax returns. This is something they would have to sit down with a CPA and discuss.
Okay.
But that injured spouse form protects the person's refund who didn't have those expenses.
All right.
Protects their refund so they don't have to say, well, I just lost mine because you have all these debts, and that just causes more dissension in the marriage.
Right.
But there is a remedy for that. So I wanted to offer this, but I didn't want everyone to feel that, oh, my gosh, I'm just losing my refund because my spouse owes these debts.
Well, we thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Didn't know that, and we thank you for that. I'm sure all the other listeners thank you for it. I'm sure you can, I'm going to guess you can go to the IRS, the government website, to find out about this form.
Mm-hmm. You definitely can. It's on their site.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. Awesome. All right. And that does it for this edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. Great information for anyone who is, you know, it's the end of the year, so pretty soon you're going to start to get your forms in the mail, and it's going to be time to prepare your taxes again. So if you are in that predicament where you don't want to lose your refund and you would like to keep your portion, if you have not incurred any debt before the marriage, then look out for that injured spouse form. Go to the government website to find out more information on that. Paul and Kenita, thank you guys so much. It was awesome.
Thank you. It was
awesome.
Great.
Always good to see you and to hear your words and to be encouraged by what you all have to say. It's great.
Thank you.
All right. Do we have any final thoughts? 10 seconds.
Yeah, I just want to say how important it is that we do have the conversation about finances and that we are honest and we are resourceful. I do appreciate the last caller. We don't have to just be a victim, but we do have to also, though, continue to choose unity, choose what the greater good is, and always keep the finances as something that's transparent and that is there to glorify God, not ourselves or our own independence.
Mm-hmm. 10 seconds.
And I would just like to say to the men, stay humble, be willing to change so that you can be the best for your spouse, so that your marriage can be successful.
Fantastic. Guys, thank you so much. Much love to our producer, Red Chris, for always doing an amazing job. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.